I was extended an invitation from Apple to go to WWDC.
And you told them they could shove it?
I haven't responded yet.
Look at this guy.
I have until April 15th to make a decision.
So what are you thinking?
It's very possible.
You want to come hang out with me?
A little bit.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Can I stay in your hotel room?
I think I only got one bed.
Oh. Awkward.
The question remains.
We probably work something out.
He has not answered the question.
Can I bill it to Lex Friedman Consulting?
Yes.
Ooh. Well, this got interesting. We'll talk. We should talk. I mean, I'll be there. I got a car. I got a hotel room. I got flights.
You can sleep in the car.
I do not have an invitation to Apple Park. So maybe I'm just hanging out. I don't know. Hmm. That will be potentially a little awkward, but I'd figure it out. I don't know. I'd go to hang out with Lex. Well,
I believe in you.
I hear, I did hear that there's a, so I believe Stephen Hackett has a cardboard stand-up of Casey Liss that they were threatening to bring with them to WWC. So maybe we need a Molt stand-up is what I'm saying.
Sure. Just use the Casey one.
Okay. Just put like paste your head on it.
Just put a beard on it.
He's taller than you think.
That's okay. I don't care. He might, but I don't.
That's fair. Yeah. I think he should be honored, frankly.
Mm.
Even be considered for the part of not
yeah, honestly, I had a tiny bit of guilt that I got an invite and other developers didn't, but like I don't have a released app, but I am working on an app, so I feel like I've earned it as much as anybody, right? That's how it works.
It's a lottery.
Well, it's right. It's random. Yeah. That's how randomness works.
Yeah, you're goddamn right.
For once, the randomness pays off for Lex.
Fuck you, Casey. Well, no, that's all I really was.
Will nobody think of this tall, white male developer?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Hey, I'm also Jewish.
Okay, there we go.
We're talking about Casey.
Okay. Well, I mean, all of those things are largely true as well, I think.
To be clear, it was a joke about Casey. Casey's been very helpful to me as I work on my iOS development.
Yeah, don't let this get back to him.
No, feel free to tell him because I love that guy.
He's all right. I do.
I'm happy to report that I fixed the bug that was terrifying me at the start of this call.
Well, that's good. I'm glad.
I don't know why it went wrong, but I've at least fixed what went wrong.
You know what could have fixed that for you? An Apple robot.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
That's correct.
I don't know. Apparently, Apple may be working on robots. They basically go, okay, we can't make a car. Too hard. Personal robot for your house. Let's do it. Does anybody think that's actually likely?
My vote is no. I mean, I suspect they're working. You know, someone is doing something.
One guy.
It might be a little
in the lab.
A little, yeah.
He's like, guys, I built a robot. I mean, and everyone's like, Carl, go back to the lab.
It's probably going on, but is it going to amount to anything? Probably not.
I don't know. Whether it'll amount to anything, I don't know, but I would think that it's a serious project. Like Amazon has its weird home
you
robot
know what?
Thing.
I don't know if that was a Freudian slip, Lex, but I feel like it tells the whole story right there.
But I think that there is room for cool home robots I think it's more worth exploring for Apple's time than a car. How's that?
I mean, a car now, yes. A car, you know, 10 years ago, I think they probably, they had a, you know, there was a point in which they could have capitalized on that, and that point has now long since passed.
There was a car window of opportunity?
Yeah, four windows at least, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Going home.
Yeah.
I don't know. Here is my biggest problem with home robots. Stairs.
Yeah.
We have not mastered that yet. We have not figured out how that works. So I guess my home robot is limited to one floor of my house, unless
they
I would
just
like
need
to carry
those
my home
robots.
Robot.
First of all, it's like a day phone and night phone. You have to have an upstairs robot and a downstairs robot.
I mean, some people have that with Roombas, I guess.
And have you seen those? What's that weird company out of Boston? Boston Dynamics.
Oh yeah!
Oh my god! Oh my god! Is it going to be actual
those?
Stair climb?
I do not want those in my home.
God,
that's
just,
what
those terror bots.
I just want to just open.
Here's
a jar
how technology
for me.
Works, by the way. This is true story. Okay. My wife went to the supermarket. She left her list on the table because she did it by hand. And while she was writing, I'm like, why aren't you doing it on your phone? She's like, because I just used it on paper, and she left it here. So I have to go take a picture of her list and send it to her at the supermarket. So I'll be right back.
This is literally happening right now.
It's literally happening.
Okay.
This is breaking news.
Huh. He's breaking this podcast, too.
You get, yeah. Can we get Guy?
Yeah, in about half an hour.
That would be funny, too.
That would be funny. We did not prepare for it. I don't know. The robot thing, it's fine. I, you know what? If they could deliver something, sure. But it, I don't know. I'm just, I'm tired and I'm not getting excited about things that are like a decade away at this point.
I want a robot in theory. I mean, you know, as a kid, I was a big fan of Lost in Space and I always wanted a buddy robot. I mean, why wouldn't you? But in actuality, I don't know what I would use one for, honestly. Like,
I want a whole robot for sure.
What's the point? I mean, the vacuum one barely works. the two robots that I have barely.
Okay.
I am surprised. I mean, these aren't the latest and greatest Roombas. But the downstairs one is relatively new, and I am constantly amazed at how dumb they are.
So pitch for you. You know how sometimes your Roomba gets stuck?
Oh, yeah.
What if you had another robot to get it out for you?
A robot nudger?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can go get both of them when they get stuck.
Yeah, that rescue robot gets like tips over and like can't get up again. And you're like, well, you need another robot to pick that robot
up. Yeah. The rescue robot goes up and goes, here's a tip, and then just knocks it over.
There's very little methodology to its cleaning process. It will try and go like along the edge of a wall or something like that. I can see it trying to do that. I can see it trying to go around like the legs of tables and stuff like that. However, those are the only two discernible actions that I can see it consistently trying to take, other than trying to clean the air intake vent constantly, which is not a thing that needs to be cleaned, or try and shove itself under something that it is clearly too tall to go under.
Yeah, the one I really wanted for a long time was I got a secondhand, a friend of mine was getting rid of a Scuba, which was the old Roomba that would mop your floor. And I wanted to use that in my kitchen, and I used it once. And the problem was I had a kitchen in which the one cabinet, which is where the sink was, the floor was not quite level under it. So one part of the gap underneath that cabinet was taller than the other end. And it went in there and it wedged itself in that gap. And then it just like... basically peed on the floor
on the will,
like just like there was just water
on the will to live.
There was just water everywhere, and as a result I had to do the thing I didn't want to do, which was mop the floor and clean up after the stupid robot, and I never again used it.
You could just have a dog at that point.
I guess I
never had the incident where the we don't use a robot vacuum that often because we got an off-brand crappy one, which I blame Amazon for. But I never had the incident where it goes over something truly disgusting, like a dog mess.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm always afraid of it because all of my animals like to puke in secret places. And I'm always afraid of one of those vacuums, like just smearing animal puke everywhere.
That's not great. I don't want that.
No, me neither. Yeah. Who does, really?
So I don't know. I'm not super high on the robot idea particularly. But
okay,
I don't know what it should do. I just want it.
I mean, like if it could like put away dishes or fold laundry or something like that, I guess. But like,
you know what? Tools are hard. Those would be great things. Those are not going to happen anytime in the near future.
Oh, no. Not even remotely.
It is insulting that the things that they're using AI for are like art and writing. The things that people want to be able to find time to create. And then, has anyone tried to use AI to do someone's taxes? Is anyone working on that? I mean, I would imagine maybe Intuit actually is probably trying to do something.
Better ways to solve that problem than throwing AI at it.
Well, there are, but at least that would be an improvement. If an AI could just do your taxes for you, then you wouldn't have to.
But I'm with you, John, because there is this insulting bit where it's like, well, you know, the AI is busy writing stories and painting pictures.
Yeah.
So if you could just go and clean the house, that'd be great.
Right. You can do all the shit that you don't want to do.
I don't love it. That was my second favorite recent story. The other one, let's see if I can find the link to it. Was the
second favorite. Oh,
well, wow. My favorite story from the last couple days was the story about Johnny Ive is building some sort of smart device.
That came out a while ago because he was.
Yes, that is true. But now there is a little more They're looking for $1 billion in funding.
Yeah.
And they're talking to
from Steve's
wife.
Jobs' wife.
Lorene Powell Jobs. Sam Altman is, you know, the other, I guess he's the technologist here.
Am I right?
Yeah. and the information reports, quote, it wouldn't look like a phone, unquote. And for this, they want $1 billion. Mm. Like, I love the idea. You show up. You're like, all right, here's what I'm telling you. AI.
Yeah.
Johnny Ive, Sam Altman. Doesn't look like a phone. Please deposit your check here.
Right.
I'm in. Cash. I'm in for $20.
You're in for $20. That seems reasonable.
I'm out for Lexus $20. I would like to pull Lexus $20 out of this.
I mean, it feels a little hold your beerish for the humane pin guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, right. Yeah. That's shipping soon.
Nominally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really know. I think a lot of people are trying to crack this whole post phone thing, and we're going to see a lot of these little bloops that like people try and they just fail. And I don't know that I would pick Johnny Ive and Sam Altman as the people to put together a product.
I think they're two talented and smart guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm hard pressed to believe that you give somebody $1 billion before there's anything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Hey, we exist. Could we have $1 billion, please? I'm not convinced.
Yeah, I don't really know what that.
I think that is often how tech works.
It depresses me.
That was never my experience.
We did something else. Please give us more money to do possibly nothing.
So does that suggest that if we ended this podcast and then went and pitched somebody, like, look, we did almost 500 episodes of this show. We're gonna do another show. It's going to be even better.
Yeah, we should stop. $1 billion.
No, that's not going to work.
See, that's the thing.
The podcast market is cratering a little bit, Dan. That's the problem.
Okay, so that was a bad play. You know what did get acquired? Beeper.
Yeah.
Really sounded like that was a transition to an ad. You know what did get acquired? This product by you.
I don't do ad reads here. Beeper, it got bought by Automattic, which is the company that owns WordPress. I have a friend who works at Automattic, fairly high up, and has dealt with Matt Mullenweg, the CEO of Automattic, who sounds like a real, real wild guy, and not in a
tool,
good way. Yeah, tool. That's a good word. He seems like a tool.
Yeah.
The stories I have heard from about this are not complimentary to this guy, who sounds like he is.
Which is sad. Which is sad to me. Yeah. Because I've enjoyed, you know, I mean, I've used WordPress for years.
Same.
And now they have Tumblr, right? And I've enjoyed Tumblr for years too. And was happy when they bought it because at least it wasn't going to somebody that was going to make it much worse. But
Yahoo already had that market corner.
He seems like exactly. He seems like a guy who is not great.
Yeah.
Particularly of late.
Yeah. Apparently, Automattic also already owned another messaging thing called texts.com.
Yeah. So that's his thing, right? He thinks that messaging is the next big thing. There's an example, Lex, of like someone who, because you were talking about the market for podcasts cratering. It doesn't seem like messaging is necessarily the thing that's going to take off next.
I get this is the plan on a lot of these things, is like, wouldn't it be great if you had all your messages in one place? And it's like, yes, but also I have too many messages and I don't want all those messages. Like, I if anything, too reachable.
What if the AI took care of your messages?
By the way, listeners, Dan's phone number is
I mean, I don't know, it's not like it's hard to email me or anything. Like,
yeah, it's, I don't know, like, it's not impossible for a new messaging app to get so popular that everybody switches to it, right? But WhatsApp and iMessage and Messenger are all already so dominant that it's like, how are you breaking in?
Yeah, what are you going to do that's not being done by these? Like, what is so compelling? Yeah. If your answer is just, well, you can get all your texts in one place, I don't know that that's enough, and I don't think it's feasible based on those other companies really don't want you to do that. So, yeah, I don't know.
Mm. I mean, we're really downers today.
Are we?
Find something.
Do you want to find something to perk up about?
Something happy. Yeah. Like what?
I don't know. I thought that was your job.
How about that eclipse, right?
Woohoo! I thought that was going to be bonus episode content, but we can talk about it now.
Oh, okay, sure. All right, well, we can save it, yeah.
Listen, why don't you guys brainstorm a topic? Because okay. I want to tell everybody about Indochino. This episode of the Indochino is brought to you by our dear friends at Indochino. The best dressed person in the room always stands out a little, in a good way. Trust me, I know. And yes, we all know that weddings are all about the bride and groom, but they're also a chance to look your best, too. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million, even though they start as just $499. It's easier than ever to be the best dressed with Indochino. Order your custom suits now and be ready for wedding season. And here's the thing. They don't just make suits. They hooked the host of this very podcast up with some outerwear. And I got a really nice camel colored coat. I don't know if it's I don't think it's actually camel hair. That'd be weird. But I got a great coat from them, and it's long, and it's a style that I never would have gotten on my own. But then when I saw it on their site, I was like, yeah, I want that. And it was cool that they hooked us up. And they already had my measurements from the last suit I got from them. So of course it fits like a glove, except one for a two-armed hand. See what I did there? It feels like a glove in the sense that it fits me well. So listen, whether you're designing outerwear or suits, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, and more. Pocket flap was my nickname in college. It's bespoke without the premium price tag. Suits start at just $499 and fitted shirts at just $89. It's easy, too. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house, or go for the premium in-person experience. Book an appointment at a showroom near you and let an Indochino style guide walk you through every step. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code REBOUND to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code REBOUND. Our thanks to Indochino for supporting the show and for keeping me warm. Yeah. Also, I'm just going to say it. ZocDoc, not a sponsor today, but I use them today. So thank you for helping me book a dermatologist appointment.
Wow. It's giving away. Giving away free.
Yeah, really. Right, it's giving it away now.
Did you guys come up with a bunch of cool other topics?
Did we talk about... Lex, you weren't here last week. I don't know.
Take two.
John, did we talk about Synology stuff last week? We did, right? I think we did. No
what
one Synology
stuff? What was the stuff we were talking about?
I was discussing whether or not I need to get new drives for my Synology because I was running out of room.
Oh, I think we did. Yeah, I think we did talk about that.
I did that journey not that long ago.
It's funny. I talked about Synologies last night.
Oh.
Well, that's right.
On another podcast,
I forgot.
No, with some friends who were here playing a game. And
what was your conclusion?
I've got a friend who's still using his Drobo.
Yikes.
So we were like, yeah, you need to get off of that.
I'm just
Dan, what size are your current drives?
They are 4 terabyte drives. Mm. I have 2 4-terabyte drives.
BTDT. I went from 4 to 12.
You went from 4 to 12?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's pretty good. And it's two drives.
How much did 12 gig?
I've got 6.
When I go to the same one, the Seagate Iron Wolf, it's $229. Seems like a lot. I probably got it when it was on sale a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ones I were looking at, which were Western Digital ones, were about 8 terabytes. They don't currently looks like they don't have a 12 terabyte in stock right now. But they were about.
I need like an 8.5. Man,
like a men's 8.5. $168 a piece, which isn't bad. But now you're making me think like should I just go? Huge?
I know, but when it's like $50 or $60 more, and you can get so much more space, it's like
terabyte drive. I'm gonna look.
Yeah,
$200 for.
I also just don't want to do Western Digital because I'm mad at them from.
Oh yeah, they're
breaking my old.
I already have. I have Western Digital ones in this, so I would probably just get those.
I haven't posted this in the Discord, but there's a Raspberry Pi.
Oh, the mini raid.
Yeah, mini raid. Yeah, looked really cool. I mean, looks cool just because it's bare. Like, that'd be cool to just like have sitting out on a desk someplace.
I feel like it's
like $50, and then you got to get the drives, of course, but still cheap.
I feel like
cheap way to do it. It's probably heavily fiddly.
When I was in college, I had a PC I had cobbled together, and it was literally was in a shoebox, and it sat on my floor for a long time, and it was like literally components everywhere, and I didn't even have a button that worked with it to turn it on, so I would start it with a screwdriver just to connect the 2 pins on the motherboard. It sounds like I lived in a hovel, but
I didn't want to say anything,
and I did because it was college.
Well, sure.
Anyway, I don't know.
We had bugs.
Well, I mean, every computer has bugs.
The place you lived senior year, there were bugs.
Yeah, well, that is a risk.
Lots of bugs.
Anyway, I haven't decided. I still haven't pulled the trigger on it yet.
Okay.
I encourage it. I don't know. I really like not thinking about storage. It is
nice.
That's the goal.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. There is a
for a while anyway.
I now run, you know, as you know, I have my server, which just has more and more things that I have to do on it. My web server that I run the Rebound site and my site and my game site and all those things off. And so just recently I was like, man, I got to think about the storage there. I don't know. And it's fine. It's got plenty of room. But like my computer, there was one point where this laptop, for whatever reason, had no storage left. It was due to I think it was an iCloud bug where it was caching everything multiple times. It was bad. And I had a free bunch of space, but like normally I think, oh geez, there's like at least 500 gigabytes free on this computer. And there's, you know, whatever, like I like to have more storage than I imagine I could possibly use. Cause anything else is a disaster at some point,
right?
You know, it's just a disaster.
Fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Okay. I heard that. I have so many drives lying around. I got to get rid of some of these drives.
I never get rid of them.
I mean, I have like 60 gigabyte drives lying around that. I mean, what is the point?
Weirdly
spinning 60 gigabyte drives. There's not much I'm going to do.
Spinning. You're just spinning them on your hands. Yeah, I would love to get a SSD versions on my RAID, but the prices on that is just it's just
no,
stupid.
That's not going to happen.
It will happen eventually. Yeah. The price curve will come down, but like SSDs are so much cheaper than they used to be. But
and I finally, I think I mentioned it was maybe I was mentioning that I worked on it last week, but I got Karen set up to do backups to do Time Machine to the Synology. And you know, that first one takes a long time, but I mean, it took a real long time. It kept saying it was going to be like 8 hours, and it actually took more like 24. But the incremental ones after that are relatively painless.
Yeah, that was the scariest thing for me was that the moment when you only have one drive, in theory. Like, I had just taken out my old drive, so I knew I still had that backup there. But then, like, when you're just waiting for everything to restore to the one so that you can put in the second one, like, I didn't like that gap where there was nothing. Made me nervous.
What you need is two Synologies.
That's right.
I have an upstairs Synology and a downstairs Synology.
Yeah, and a robot.
A night Synology and a day Synology.
To sync them up for you.
Actually, speaking of our friend Casey Liss, he wrote recently about his use of some VPN software that he got me very intrigued about. But he also mentioned, he's got a second Synology at his parents' house, and he uses Tailscale to make those two devices easily back up to each other. He makes his backup onto the other one.
Wow.
That's like next level.
Yeah,
it's hardcore.
Yeah, I thought about that recently. I was like, should I have my parents back up more stuff? But literally, my dad is like, every time I think about like, oh, should I get you a new computer? Would be a pain. Like, I can just migrate stuff over. And he's like, it's fine. You could just like throw out. You could just burn that laptop and just give me a new one. It would be no different to me. It's like, okay. He doesn't keep anything on his computer. It's literally just a device for using. It's a web browser. That's all it is. He's like, oh, can I have my bookmarks? And it's like, yeah, that's pretty easy. I can do that. whereas my mom is like, her iMac is getting towards the end of life because it's like 2010 or 11 maybe. And I keep being like, you could get another iMac. Like, I could buy you a new iMac. Like, that'd be fine. Or like, if she mainly does stuff on her iPad. And I was like, well, or like, you know, you could go iPad only. Like, we could get you a keyboard like case for that. That'd be fine. And like, if you just are more comfortable doing work on that, you could do work on that. And she's like, well, sometimes I still use the Mac for stuff. I was like, yes, but if this dies tomorrow, like, I'm not sure it makes sense to replace it for the amount of time you use it versus the amount of time you use your iPad. So my mother is a case study in like gets her technology and won't let go of it. We've got the 2011 iMac.
Mm-hmm.
Her iPad is fairly new. I think it's a 10.5 inch Pro, which is, I think, probably on the edge of not getting software updates anymore. And then she has I think she has an original iPhone SE, like the one that's the one that's iPhone 5, the
beautiful one.
Size. Yeah, everybody like she pulled it out at a family thing last week at brunch, and like my cousin was like, "Oh, your phone's so tiny! Like it's so cute!" And I was like, "Wow,
great,
so small, such a small,
so perfect."
Phone.
I vividly remember my mom not understanding why anybody would ever need a cell phone, and then why anybody would need a smartphone, and then why anybody would need a data plan for a smartphone. I just remember all those different phases. She got into all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a way of, it took a while. Doing that.
Karen just got a new MacBook Air.
Oh. M3?
Yeah. M3.
Ooh,
yeah.
Fancy. Wow.
Yeah.
Is it awesome?
It's really nice, yeah.
I'm now, jealous. When there's a new Mac in your house, do you set it up, or does Karen
I did. So I did a super duper of her MacBook, her 2018 MacBook Pro, and then she got 6 years out of that. That's
pretty good.
It's pretty good. And it just seemed to be sort of dragging and irritable, you know.
Oh, like you?
So pretty much.
He hasn't replaced you yet, though.
Well,
yet.
Soon. Clock's ticking.
Soon.
So I did a super duper, and I was surprised that she was just ready to go. I mean, she was, because I think in previous conversions, she's been like, well, keep that one around just in case, you know, like, don't get rid of it. Don't send it back immediately. But she was like, yeah, I guess we don't need it. Get rid of it. So it has gone back to Apple.
I am less precious about my devices now because I feel like, I don't know what it is. Is it just age? Is it the fact that I swap my iPhone every year, so I've grown not attached to them at all. It's like yep, mm-hmm. All right, this is last year's iPhone. I have no sentimental feelings about it, send it back. Macs more because I use them longer, but again, because the switching is so transparent at times, it doesn't really, it's like, oh, I just got a new machine. It's like, you know, especially going from the old Intel MacBook Air to the M1 Air. The only difference was the M1 Air was larger because I went from an 11-inch. But otherwise, pretty much feels like the exact same computer. The biggest change I've made recently was going from the iMac to the Mac Mini in the studio display. But even there, the same size display, it's the same panel, right? Like, so functionally, it kind of feels like the same machine, basically. And I just migrate over. So, yeah, I guess I certainly don't have the emotional attachment I did to say, like, you know, my first PowerBook or my Power Mac G3 or whatever.
It is interesting to set up a new Mac if you don't do it from like a super duper or something else and realize all the things that you constantly need, they just become
too
reliant
scared
on.
To do that.
Yeah. Yeah. She talked about doing that this time just because she had some problems with mail and, but it turned out they were just settings that needed to be changed. But it is, it's a pain in the ass. There's so much work that has to be done in order to get back to where you were.
Right. It's like I know this will take days is the thing.
Right.
Like, if not longer.
Yeah. We're busy people. We don't need that.
It's true. Do you guys want to hit up some listener questions?
Yeah, I will say we didn't have access to anything that came in not via the form last week, Lex. So if there's any backlog in the...
Oh, it's everything that comes through the email or through the other website is supposed to hit this form as well. It's all supposed to go to the same place.
Really? When did that happen?
Yeah.
Nobody told me.
A year plus ago. Every once in a while they don't.
You're talking to a professional game developer, Dan.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's see here.
I don't know if you heard it, but he's been invited to.
It's true. It's an honor.
WWDC. Yeah.
It turns out Tim Cook is a big word game fan, and he's like, that guy's got to come. we're going to discuss Wordle strategies. Mr. E-Man says... Nostradamus Moltz, which is a great nickname for you. It sounds a little bit like Encyclopedia Brown. Nostradamus Moltz predicted Apple sex bots back in January 2002. With such uncanny accuracy, how deeply should we dig back into the crazy Apple rumor site to find more important Apple nuggets?
Well, so they are actually sex bots, then I'm a little bit more interested than I said I was earlier. But yes. I don't think that's happening. I still don't think that's happening. I don't think these robots are going to be sex bots because it's Apple we're talking about. And... I think it's always worth going back and looking at Crazy Apple Rumors because it's best sites that ever existed. So.
And Moltz, Dan and I have been talking about potentially getting you a sex bot for your 60th. More like your 60th.
Am I right?
I'm out. You're on your own, Lex.
Yeah, really. I bet you have not been talking about that.
True.
Direct of the Edmund Fitzgerald says, should the knowledge and expertise of the Macalope be added to the database of the Apple robot?
There's a lot happening this week, and I feel
there really is. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
This is why I commented that the main purpose of these questions seems to just be trolling the host.
Hey, you pay, you get to do it. Oh, I don't know if I this is where I do the promo. Join Rebound Prime, prime.rebroundcast.com. It runs on my server with all those other things. I updated that server today, and it broke several of my puzzles because of dates. Dates are hard. Anyway, prime.rebroundcast.com.
So was there an answer? Yes to Crazy Apple Rumors, no to the Mac 11. That's what I'm going to say. That's my answer.
I feel like last time this listener asked a question, I got the name wrong.
I don't want to, plus the, it was actually, you know what? Keep your mitts off my material, Apple.
That's right.
You got to pay for that.
Yeah, isn't this scraping? Like the thing that people used to post?
I mean, I know they've already paid for both of those, but...
No, but it's like the thing they used to post on AOL, like if Microsoft shares this email in any way, they owe me $1 million. You'd be able to say that. Do you remember that?
Like, there we go. The, I should think I was going to put that at the bottom of my sites.
Yeah. Ambioric asks, what's up with Lex's hair? Well, see? Not much.
See?
I
don't understand.
So did you go to a new place? Yes, I haven't listened to your daily
Lex. Dan is a little bit behind on your daily Lex, but traveling. Today's your daily Lex as we record. It was no shade. Saturday I went to my typical hair place, my normal haircut place. They all speak Russian there, and usually they can understand me. And when they can't, they bring over a translator. But this person spoke English just fine, and I showed pictures of what I wanted, and they were pictures of me. It wasn't like I was like, here's George Clooney, make me look like this, which, as I said on the podcast, wouldn't take much work. Yes. But I was like, here's me with this haircut. And she's like, okay, no problem. And then she goes, I'm like, no, this isn't right. You got to make the top much shorter. And she's like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And I'm like, no, but that's what I want. I want it to look like this. She's like, yeah, but that picture's from a long time ago. I'm like, that picture's from a year ago. I just like, and she's like, I can go a little shorter. And she basically left me with the short hair version of a mullet where it was like too long on top and then very short on the sides. And I was like, or like a very wide mohawk. I don't even know how to describe it. I could show you guys photos, but not the internet at large. And then I came home and I was like, this is not salvageable. I took a trimmer and now basically you could join the military. Like it's as short as my hair can ever be, and I hate it.
Wow.
And it's going to be like months till it looks normal to me. That's what's up with it.
That is, you know,
it was very sad.
I'm gonna say,
I did not cry, but I was close. I was emotional.
I feel like John and I have solved this problem.
Yeah, really. Yeah, we just.
I've been wearing a lot of hats recently.
Up. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I would like to get your reaction again.
Are you going to turn on your video? Love you guys. Is this heaven?
No. I'm going to text you photos because I trust you not to share them.
I am not going to share them.
So here's the what. Like, I came home with the first photo I'm sending you, and I was like, "This is not a hairstyle. Like, this is a mess. This is a disaster." And then I did cleanup work.
I'm looking forward to these.
I guess the first one hasn't come through yet. Okay, so that's the real-time reaction you're getting.
I was mean.
No, listen.
I don't know what celebrity
that's
makes
just,
me think
that's
of.
When you just came home?
Yes. This was not okay.
I will say that I don't think the length is a problem. It just looks sloppy.
It does look sloppy. Yeah.
And it's what they left me with. So then the one photo wouldn't go through, so here's the different one. This is from today, actually. So then I took a home haircut kit to it and went very short, which is the second photo going through.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is very short.
That's very short. And again, I don't think it's bad.
It's not bad.
It's not horrible. It just doesn't feel like me.
No, it's not your, usual hairstyle, but you know what? Right. You may appreciate, let me tell you, low maintenance hair is great.
It does dry in 12 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Like that's a thing. It took me many years to come to grips with my hairline. And
I find that I am a lot colder with
I wear a hat sometimes indoors, like I'll go to the coffee shop or something and I'll just leave my hat on because it's like it's just chilly in here, but you know, it's fine. I don't care. My hair doesn't get messed
up. It's surprising
when I take it off,
though.
So
I think it's even when it was short, it made me feel a lot warmer than like no hair.
Yeah.
That's true.
Our dear friend Mahir says, hey, John, how was your Monday? Did you do anything memorable? And I actually don't know what this is a joke about.
I'm not really sure what this is a joke about.
I think it was just lack of eclipse coverage.
Yeah, I did not see the eclipse.
But the eclipse I saw you.
We didn't get the eclipse. We don't get the eclipse here.
Actually, here's a topic for you guys. That's tech related and eclipse related. You know, I don't know what the word for it is, but you know the green dot that shows up when you're taking photos outside sometimes on an iPhone, especially if you're pointing near the sun.
Refraction. Yeah.
Yeah. So like Lauren and I got some decent's a stretch, but we got some passable eclipse photos from the green dot. Like when we pointed at the sun, we couldn't get much of anything because of the cloud coverage here. But when we zoomed in on our green dots, you could fully see the eclipse happening. And it was kind of fascinating.
I wonder if it must be just the inverse of the if that's where the reflection is. I don't even know. That's weird. I don't know enough about optics to even
so
understand.
I'll post it in Discord too, but I send it to you guys as well. But if you zoom in on the green thing in the upper right of this photo, you can see the eclipse happening in the refracted part. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. That is pretty weird.
We guess that's the glass over the...
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's wild.
Over the lens, right?
Maybe. Oh, I like how it dances around in the live photo, too.
Yeah.
Really, yeah.
Whee!
Yeah, it's kind of bonkers.
Yeah, it just must be the reflection. It's the reflection of that, somehow. Yeah, I would agree. I think it's something to do with maybe the various layers of the lens coating or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there were there, but now they all burned off because I pointed at the sun.
Yeah, that'll happen.
listener Holger asks, should Xeon Nox install the new Vision OS update?
No,
absolutely.
No. Yeah, do it.
No.
Do it.
No.
Yes?
There is an update. There is an actual update out today, I believe.
Is that an actual update or is it's just a new beta? I think it's a new update to beta.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's the 1.2 beta.
Okay. All right. Well, then don't update to that.
No. What percentage of Vision Pro listeners... Vision Pro owners, do you think used it to try to look at the eclipse yesterday?
Oh no. someone did.
I'm
going to
say
someone did.
I'm going to say 0.03%.
Whatever.
Oh, I think 5%.
One guy is. Whatever.
You
one
think 5%? That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I think a lot of people probably
that's
did.
That's a lot of percent anyway.
Because right. You're like, I'm looking through a screen. How bad could it be?
I guess.
Then finally. Listener Dustin Goldman says, will the iOS screen...
Good question.
Boy, I'm trying to parse this question. I think I get what we're asking here. Will the iOS screen... I got it now. Will the iOS screen about the change in single tap to mute and double tap to hang up with AirPods ever go away? We are going 8 months now. I get it already. So I think that every time Dustin pairs his AirPods, he's getting the message on his screen that says, hey, now you're going to single tap and to mute and double tap to hang up. That sounds like a bug with your AirPods. Yep. And I would factory reset those bad boys and pair them all over.
I agree. I've never seen that happen again.
Hmm.
I don't. Yeah.
I don't.
So it will go away after you factory reset those bad boys.
Yep. I already started.
Speaking of factory resetting, I know this is just a quick Peloton corner.
Oh, no.
My Peloton Tread Plus once had died and they had to come and replace the entire base, which is like the giant heavy part of a treadmill, especially this one. And they had to replace the whole thing. And then it worked fine. And then a couple days ago, I went downstairs to use it and it would make some sounds, but it would not go and it would flash a lot of errors. It was like reattach the safety key or remove and reattach the safety key. And then also it would flash other error messages like you need to call support, and it would put multiple error messages stacked on top of each other. Like it was showing as desperately as possible, I am in serious distress. And I hate calling Peloton because it takes them a very long time to find my account because of themselves. Basically, this short story is getting longer by the second, so I apologize. But when I bought the Tread, I already owned the bike. And when I'm on the phone buying the Tread, they're like, hey, if you give us a second email address for you, you can refer yourself to get the Tread so you can get like $100 back or whatever. And I was like, okay, fine. If you're telling me to do that, I'll do that. So my treadmill was purchased on like a different account from my Peloton account, even though it's on it. So it's a whole thing every time. And I have to go through this every time. And it makes me feel like a criminal every time. It wasn't my idea. It was their idea. Like I did it because they told me to on the phone. Anyway, so I finally get, they're going through all these steps and they're like, well, did you try unplugging it? I'm like, yes, I did. And they're like, did you try this? And I had already tried, but I was willing to try everything they asked again. And then she's like, well, let's try a hard factory reset, which I did. Took a couple steps, no big deal. And then I had to like go through its calibration steps that are really for like your installer to do. And that was kind of fun. And then once again, it would not go. And she's like, well, our elite team for support is going to call you in 24 to 48 hours. And I'm like, okay, so if I don't hear, I should call back. Yes, but I'll email you once a day to let you know we're still on it. And I was speaking to her on Saturday. She's like, I work Sunday, so I'll write to you Sunday as well. That was the last I ever heard from her. And nobody ever called. But after I hung up, I was listening to it again. And I was like, man, it really just sounds like, it sounds like it's so close to being able to go. So I get on the treadmill again and I just take one like really hard step. Like I'm going to help you go. And like it made a little sound. And then it fucking worked perfectly again. So something was stuck. I got it out and now it works great. And they never called. So I'm just, I haven't canceled my support request. Yeah. But yeah, basically it was clearly something small and whatever, but it's not there now. And it's just hilarious to me that I fixed it.
I think that's, I'm glad to hear that because I'm going through a similar kind of process with Abode right now because I got
with a what?
The.
Abode?
Abode is my new security system.
Ah.
Which I explained last week, I think.
I haven't caught up on last week's episode yet. Yeah. I'm getting there.
And they, you know, when you buy the package, they give you a code. It's like, you know, you get the first year for a reduced amount. Here's a code for the first year of service. And I can't input the code. Like, I finally figured out, like, oh, I think you're supposed to activate the service and you get a free month and then you put the code in. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I mean, like, I'm going back and forth with the service people, and the guy takes it seems like it's one guy doing this. It takes him
Mr. Abode.
Several days to respond. And the most recent response was, have you tried putting the activation code in as your PIN? It's like, and the activation code is 6 digits. The maximum length of your PIN is 4. Like, you are just guessing now. You have no idea how this works. Like, why am I talking to you? You're just wasting my time. So, So I actually went so far as to log on to Twitter after, like, not having been on there for a year and a half or whatever, and adding the abode there really count there.
There really isn't a good solution for that, is there?
No, there's no escalation process in particular. I so far have not gotten a response on Twitter from the abode. but I did get, I mean, like, having activated the first free month, the notifications are now rich notifications. So I get, like, you know, if the back door opens, it says back door is open instead of an event occurred, which is what I was complaining about the last time. So that part's nice. It actually is doing exactly what I want it to do now. The system is working pretty well, I would say. The support part of it, not so great so far. There is like apparently a chat thing in the app on iOS. And so I'm going to try that this afternoon and see if I get any sort of help out of that.
It's funny. I was trying to help a friend troubleshoot a domain name issue and had worked on it for like 20 minutes. And he's like, oh yeah, I was dealing with the support at the host. And they said, there's a problem with your DNS person. So I got to go to where the domain is registered. And like, the guy was like, you got to remove every other record in your domain. I was like, don't do that. Like, cause you've got a bunch of stuff in here related to your mail. And, clearly that should in no way impact the resolution of your domain name.
Yeah.
And finally, after we were going back and forth on this, this is the funniest part about what tripped me was kerning. Like, I was looking at the entry and I was like, why is one of these two entries shorter than the other? They don't line up. And I realized it's because there was a different digit in one of them. It was just a fucking typo. And I was I found your problem. Yeah. You put in one of these IP addresses, just one number off. And neither of us realized it, despite having looked at it several times, despite having him screenshotted it and sent it to the support people at the host, who were just like, yeah, it looks fine. Just wipe the rest of your DNS records. And he's like, why are you telling me to do that instead of reading it? It's like, I get it. I get that we fucked up and, like, we didn't look at it and that was our fault too, but like, you should also not be recommending that. And I was like, I know why they're doing it. It's because it's easier
for them. It's actually, in this case, you'd have to really note it, that was the problem in the first place, but this is a great ChatGPT feature. Like, if I have code that I can't figure out and I paste it in there, it's like, always a typo.
You forgot it
when I can't solve it.
A comma or
and
a
it
quote.
Always finds it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, for me, it's always like, I've got the wrong kind of ending bracket of some kind. Like, oh, you did a curly one, but I needed a regular parenthesis there. Or I flopped the order of them and like, I can't see it. Maybe I can see it when I was younger. I don't know. I can't see those.
Well, I mean, hey, and it tells me. In writing, like, I sometimes write a whole, you know, sometimes write a whole book and leave out a word in a sentence or something, right? And it's like, because my brain knows what I'm trying to say, and so when I reread it, it just glosses over it. And it takes somebody else reading it to be like, you forgot of in this sentence. It's like, oh well, it's out there in the world, printed on paper now, that's done.
When I was looking at the trade-in value of Karen's MacBook Pro, I had this great idea. I was just, she needs to work on it and I want to check it out. So I just went up and took a picture of her serial number and then once it synced to my Mac, I copy and pasted the serial number into Apple's website to see what the trade-in value was, except, you know, it did not know what zeros were as opposed to O's. And it did not know that, you know, like, I think it converted a B to an 8 and stuff like that. And I was like, basically had to retype the whole thing anyway. So close. Yeah.
Not fun.
Yeah. Well, we never leave out words in podcast.
I am a professional podcast.
I hear that about you.
I can't even play this game. Yeah.